Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Again, I appreciate all of you who listen on terrestrial radio or audio streaming, but do yourself a favor, especially while old T is in California, and check out his camera work on the video stream edition. The positives and negatives. It's going to be a struggle to find some negatives this time edition. The no need to bully 565 Analytics Collective. Tausch won the Steinhoffel Sleeper of the Week. Fair and square edition. And the you guys don't know. You think you know, but you don't know. You cannot possibly fathom what Malik Willis is doing. Hey, coach, tell me more about what he's doing then. I'm going to ask you that today, so be prepared. Edition of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. So is Chrissy Birdsall, being taught how to delegate your responsibilities and not do any work. And from his undisclosed California location, I assume he's sitting at a piano and he's getting ready to play us a song, The Piano Man. Is this really that hard? The camera angle is really that difficult? But at least he's not tiny like a Haribo goldfish or gold bear, whatever. He is the Packers Hall of Famer, and he is still in California. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Beautiful. I can't figure out, like, what are you guys giving me grief about? How exactly do you want me to videotape this thing?
So because the camera angle picks up whatever it is sitting on more than it picks up you. Like, the one on Friday, you were like a mile and a half away.
In the business, we call this a lower third, Tausch, and you've been really great at creating your own.
Okay.
You look great. You look great. We're just happy to have you. No.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Too early for TMJ this morning, though, huh?
Well... No, I mean, I want you to get some reps, too.
Thanks.
I mean, Malik Willis get some reps.
Did you somehow go further west where you changed time zones again? Well, like, why are you confused what time it is?
I told you before. No, I mean, I know what time it is. I've been out here for a week now, so I have a general idea of what time it is.
He doesn't know what time it is here. That's the problem.
I think I'm figuring all of that out. So, yeah, I'm doing great. It was a great weekend. Watched the game yesterday. It was... I don't know about you guys. This is a really good football team. A really good football team. And Tennessee stinks. Tennessee's a bad team. But that's what good teams do to bad teams. And I came away with a bunch of things yesterday after that game, but I think the thing that you have to look at first and foremost is that this coaching staff is good. And I think they really have things figured out as far as how to work around their talent. And when you watch other teams, including Tennessee, and if you want to look around the entire league, the Bears, we're very fortunate. Matt LaFleur is a really good football coach. And I think he's finally being able to really showcase that. So I don't want to take anything away from Malik Willis. I think what he's done has been remarkable for these 2 weeks, because this wasn't like last week's game where it was don't make any plays. That 3rd and 18 play that he ripped it, and I think it was Watson. That's big boy football now. And so I just, you know, I was watching with some friends here yesterday, and we were all kind of just thinking, God, how lucky are we? Because that game yesterday should have been, oh, well, Jordan will be back next week, hopefully, and just kind of weather the storm. And maybe if you can sneak one out, great. If you can't, no big deal. You weathered the storm without Jordan. And the way the mentality was, and especially on the defensive side of the ball, you just have to come away incredibly impressed with how this group is attacking these games. And now, hopefully, we'll kind of – it'll be a new chapter next week, but – just a thorough, impressive whooping that the Green Bay Packers put on Tennessee yesterday.
So let's talk a little bit about that before we get to positives and negatives. The Packers beat the Titans in Tennessee. First time they've won there since the Titans moved, the Houston Oilers moved to Tennessee in 1997. But let's start with this. Matt LaFleur was talking on Friday. I asked him, I said, I know you only spent 1 year in Tennessee, but it was the first time you became an offensive play caller. What did that year mean to you as your development as a coach? And I thought he was great talking about how one of the things he failed to do was to be more inclusive and collaborative. And he went on to talk about how, as a head coach, he's gotten better and better at that. And to your point about this coaching staff, they've all been together now. Some of them from the very start in 2019, right? I mean, Butkus was the assistant offensive line coach. Steno was the offensive line coach. Yes, Nathaniel Hackett moved on. Yes, Luke Getsy moved on. But the core of their coaching staff has been together for a long time, and they really do have the ability to conjure up their game plans in a collective manner, and there's all different ideas coming in. And what they did yesterday, I mean, the very first play, the fake toss and then hitting Jaden Reed across the middle for a 30-yard gain. I mean, they had two 30-yard gains on the opening drive. There was the 3rd and 14 before the 3rd and 18 to Watson that set up the field goal before halftime. There was the 3rd and 14 to Romeo Doubs, which was a big boy throw. Like, I thought what they did was they recognized, all right, last week's game plan was awesome. It ain't going to work this week.
Yep.
These guys are, they know what would be coming. We're going to strive. And they did. I mean, it was hard. It was rough sledding for Josh Jacobs yesterday. But they had another, they have been so good at mitigating Malik Willis's shortcomings and accentuating his strengths. And that's why I was a little annoyed with LaFleur for his answer in Tennessee. I wasn't there, obviously, but when he talked about how you guys don't know, this is, I've never seen anything like this. Well, I would love to know more about how you did this, because to me, that's the story. Malik Willis deserves all the credit in the world. The fact that he can, with a straight face and somewhat convincingly, claim that this wasn't a special win for him is great, and he played great, but their ability to put him in situations where he still has to make plays, he deserves credit for that. But they really have figured out, and he did it for Love during the second half of last season too, they really have figured out how to conjure up a game plan that allows their quarterback to avoid mistakes and be successful. And that is something that, as you can see from Brian Callahan and the Titans staff, they wanted Will Levis. That's the guy they wanted. And what they've gotten for that is the most turnovers in the NFL through three games.
Yeah, I think yesterday completely reiterates how important coaching is and how important scheming plays are. Mm-hmm. Because the NFL is hard enough. What Tennessee did yesterday is ask Will Levis to be somebody he's not at this point in his career. Mm-hmm. When you continue to do that, man, I had a great profound quote yesterday, that but I don't remember what it was. I'll get back to it. But in essence, what...
Thank you. That's our show in a nutshell.
In essence, what this showcases is this isn't... At this point in guys' careers, if you ask Malik Willis to do what Will Levis did yesterday, he would have looked like Will Levis. He would have looked like Will Levis.
Yeah, Skeenis. You're right.
So I just think you have to kind of look at this big picture. And that does not mean the Green Bay Packers are going to run the table here and not lose another game. They're going to probably have a clunker or two, and people are going to call in on that Monday and say, buh, buh, buh. But on the whole, the stuff that we saw yesterday, make the game easy for your players. Make it as easy. Make them allow them to have some gimmies, some layups. You know, NBA guys will tell you, you got to see the ball go through the hoop, and then all of a sudden it just becomes easier mm-hmm. because you saw it. And when you do that, you get that big throw early in the game, and Malik feels comfortable and can start rolling. That's what this is all about. And when you ask someone like Levis to do something like what you're asking Patrick Mahomes or a veteran quarterback, you're going to be sorely disappointed in your results. So I look at yesterday, this isn't a, oh my gosh, what a crowning achievement for Malik. It is. It was a great day. But if Malik Willis was still in Tennessee, he's looking like Will Levis yesterday. That's how you should look at that. It's not, that's why for as much as I want to give Malik Willis a ton of credit, and I will because of what he did, Malik Willis is a huge benefactor of the fact that he was traded and got this opportunity and has taken advantage of it. Whereas some of these other teams, it is just constant. It's a constant hamster wheel. Well, we hope this is the guy. Well, it's not the guy. Mm-hmm. You have to have the system that allows the guy to become the guy. And that has not happened in a lot of places.
So Chris, who is a very avid listener to the show, sent me a tweet yesterday. He was quoting the Titans beat writer for the Nashville paper, the Tennessean, and he wrote that this guy Nick wrote, he can fit in a new system after just a month when the Titans couldn't figure out what to do with him in 2 years, isn't necessarily an indictment of past regimes as much as it is food for thought about the importance of fit in football. And I thought, well, I know a guy who talks about fit all the time who had an 11-year NFL career, but my argument is, can it be both? That was my response, is that it has to be the right fit. It has to be the player doing what he needs to do, certainly. But yes, this is still an indictment on what the Tennessee Titans did with Malik Willis, because they had him, and it is their job to figure out what to do to help him succeed. And the Titans regimes that they have been through now, which, again, Mike Vrabel was the head coach when he was drafted. Now it's someone else. They've had three offensive coordinators in 3 years. Malik Willis, clearly the people that were saying he can't play football, or his left tackle going on Barstool and ripping him, saying he's a really nice guy but can't play, maybe it wasn't all Malik Willis's fault. Now, I'm not absolving him of some of his failures there. I'm sure he was part of it. But this idea of fit being the only reason, coaches' jobs are to figure out what Matt LaFleur did yesterday and what Adam Stenovich did yesterday. That's what they get paid millions of dollars for. And they earned their money yesterday. And from what I've seen from the Titans, their previous staff with Malik Willis and their current staff with Will Levis isn't doing the job to do right by that quarterback.
Well, and they're not, I mean, it's a lot trickier when it's your first year as a head coach and just getting going as a starter. So you have to allow for some growth. But what's so impressive about what Green Bay is doing is none of us expected Malik Willis to be able to play a game like that yesterday.
Oh,
I think we all thought he could do something similar to last week, where you run it and you hammer it, you play conservative and you win a tight game. I don't think any of us had this vision for what he was able to do. And Matt LaFleur did. And they, along with Tom Clements and everybody else, deserves a ton of credit for putting him in this position to go out and play the way that he did on the road. Really just remarkable. I'm trying to piece together who you could say in the history of the Packers had a more surprising performance to that level at the quarterback spot. And obviously we haven't had a ton because there's been so much great quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Flynn against Detroit, but Matt Flynn was in the system for a while and it was kind of a meaningless game.
Sure.
In the grand scheme of things, nothing against Matt, but he had a great day. But that wasn't a needle mover. This was, you're in the heart of the season. You're 1-1. You don't know. Hope Jordan's back. And for him to come in 24 or 25 days and do that against his former team, it was just truly remarkable and an unbelievable performance by everybody involved. And I think that's the thing. That was kind of the thing I want to make sure to harp on today is that for as much as it's Malik Willis and he deserves every bouquet of flowers that people throw at him, Matt LaFleur has been fantastic in getting his guys ready, and that includes his defensive coordinator and everybody else, because he takes all the heat like he did with Joe Barry. I crushed him on a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be hypocritical if I'm not heaping praise, because it has been incredibly impressive, and Malik Willis deserves a lot of that, but I really have to give Matt LaFleur and his staff credit for putting his guys in this position to go out and have a day like they did yesterday.
All right, before we get to Pella and before we get to our positives and negatives and then get to the phone lines, and if you want to get in line now, Jesse loves lining up calls, 844-770-3776, but it's going to be a bit. Here's my question for you. You are a Goody stan by your own admission.
Absolutely.
Do you believe, because he's the one who traded for Malik Willis, I was critical of acquiring a guy who had no proven ability to come in when the starter is hurt and play well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that Brian Gutekunst saw this coming? Or do you believe he was thinking, okay, we could develop this guy, he's going to improve with our coaching staff. But do you think Goody's sitting there going, damn, our guys can coach, because I didn't think this guy was going to be able to do this either?
I do not think, for as much of a Goody stand, and I gave Goody a lot of grief about the kicking situation in the backup quarterback, because nobody plans the way he did in that. Like, that's not the plan.
Sure.
What I give Goody a ton of credit for is not just going along with it because it's easy. The easy thing to do is to keep Sean Clifford, let the young guy behind him, Pratt, I think, develop, and just say, well, this is what it is. And then something happens, you can go out and get a Tannehill. That was the easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
What takes vision and stones is what Goody did. And I don't think Matt LaFleur liked it when he made that move. I don't.
I don't either.
And I do think, for as much as I think there's always a little friction between a head coach and a GM on certain things, I think Matt LaFleur said, we're going to make this work. And I do believe where Goody in the past has maybe thought Matt LaFleur was maybe not the alpha dog, or, the criticism he gave after that Jordan Love game in Kansas City for COVID. There was times. I think Matt LaFleur has earned his stripes in a much bigger way just over this first month of the season with Brian Gutekunst than he's ever had in the 5 years, 6 years, whatever it's been. I don't even know how many years he's been. It seems like it's been forever now. Again, I'm not going to sit here and continue to shower Goody, but it takes big stones to do what he did and trusting his coach. And then it takes even bigger stones for Matt LaFleur to actually execute it and plan it. And now everybody looks like it's just a well-oiled machine. And sometimes, hey, things are going to get a little greasy and squeaky, and you have to continue to work and lubricate that relationship. That's where they're at. And I think the lubrication right now, there's not a ton of viscosity with this friction of this relationship. That's so funny.
Lubrication and viscosity of this relationship.
Well, you don't think that relationship was very viscous? in the
past. I don't think that's a word.
Very high frictiony, okay, if that's what you want to say. And so for me, criticizing Goody was easy before this season because it looked desperate and it looked like we're just grabbing cards, right?
Yep, yeah.
Well, whatever. Yeah. I'll just grab this one. Hopefully it works.
Yep.
And now I think he saw what we had with Sean Clifford. Did they win that game yesterday with Sean Clifford? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe they come up with a game plan that fits Sean Clifford.
But obviously Malik Willis's talent was at least in the eyes of the people that know what the hell they're doing,
yeah,
was a lot stronger. And to go and do that and now to look at this and you say you're 2-0 with Malik Willis, who is a cast off from one of the worst franchises that have, I guess, nurtured quarterbacking, is just unbelievably impressive. That's all you can say.
We will get to your positives and negatives and ours after Tausch plays a little song on his piano there out in California. What is the deal? What's the deal with that bright yellow tree or bush behind you? I've never seen anything quite like that. Or is that just the lighting that you've got going on?
No, maybe it's the lighting. I don't know.
It's breathtaking. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, like
much like
trees.
Your windows will be from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It gives you a great window. They are the window and door equivalent of picking up a quarterback in 20 days and getting two wins as a backup. They're the window and door equivalent of hitting for the cycle or coming from behind from an 8-run deficit. Wisconsin had a winning weekend. You're going to have a winning weekend if you go with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. They manufacture all of their own products, and each one of those products gets tested thousands of times to ensure that it withstands the test of time. Quality craftsmanship, innovative design, they are built into every Pella product for timeless beauty and performance. Order up by September 30th and get as low as $18 per window and $81 per patio door per month. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
Mr. Viscosity himself, Mark Tauscher, continues live from California. We will give our positives and negatives, and then you can give yours. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Time for our positives and negatives, and then we'll get to yours as the Packers beat the Titans 30-14 in Nashville, the Packers' first win at Nissan Stadium. I think it was something else before that. All right, Tausch, should we start with the negatives since there's so few, or you want to start with the positives?
We can go negatives. I think it's going to be everybody's negative just because I thought the way the game played yesterday and the amount of penalties, or at least especially on the offensive line side of it, that was the big negative for me. And I'm not remotely worried about it. I know it, you know, people, oh, it's sloppy and this. As the season unfolds, those calls get less and less. And Green Bay was able to overcome that yesterday. Are you concerned that Rashid Walker has been penalized as much as he has so far? Absolutely. And that needs to get cleaned up. But I have all the faith in the world that they do. If you go ahead and look at the pass protection. And again, that's not just the O-line and the quarterbacks. It's also scheme. It's also coaching. But the negative was that, the penalties and the sloppiness, especially on the guys up front, at least the results of that. So that would be the negative. Now, the positives, there are so many to jump into. But I think when you and I did Blindside, our video, a couple weeks ago, and you crushed it. You did a great job, but
yes,
it was...
Thanks, yeah.
Well, we have one now, and I asked in a great stoic manner, what do you mean? A defense. And what we saw yesterday, I think there was a stretch where, I don't remember if Green Bay had pulled ahead by 13, and then they started moving the football again. And you just are sitting there like, don't play the prevent defense. And there were a couple of different times that you saw immediately that this wasn't the Joe Barry defense anymore. This was the Jeff Hafley getting after and not just sitting back in a soft zone on a third and seven and giving up 8 yards. It was, I'm going to attack that route. And I think it was an incompletion. I don't know if they ended up going for it. But then that relentless pass rush that a lot of folks in your industry were saying, oh, boy, all of a sudden they only got 2 sacks. Or, oh, you know, we haven't seen a lot of this new pressure and everything. And you have to look at the big picture and say, well, yeah, part of the game plan in those games was to not let their quarterbacks get out of the pocket. You're not going to have the same. Well, that wasn't the case this week, especially when you get a lead. You get to go eat. You get to go hunt. And you saw yesterday the fruits of some of that hunting, because the hunt was on and it was, whoo, you're talking bounty harvest as far as what that hunt brought from Devontae Wyatt and Enigbare. It was not just a one-man show, although Lucas Van Ness had a heck of a one-man show. It was a group effort that got after it, and then you factor in the interceptions, and what we've seen from Jeff Hafley so far has been everything that we'd hoped.
All right, Jesse, am I hallucinating, or was there a purple thumbs up emoji that just appeared while Tausch was talking?
There was, although I kind of wanted to play along that you were hallucinating, because I feel like that could have got us to a fun place here pretty early in the show.
I don't drink, I don't do drugs, but I think I maybe ate a mushroom or something.
It did also happen last week, so for some reason, when Tausch does certain like hand motions or something, there are a little, like a thought bubble popped up last week in one of the clips we shared on our social platforms, and now we got a purple thumbs up in the middle, so I don't know what he did to get us to that point, but that's pretty great.
Yeah, that I didn't see that coming. I was going to give him a thumbs down because we were only doing negatives, and he went into a positive. But be that as it may,
is that what that was? What? So I don't fully understand. Is this a new thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
I want to say like Mina Kimes or somebody on Get Up over the summer. It happened to also that was on video on. I think it's. I don't know if it's iPads or phones or both, but.
I start hitting plus? Can I start doing that all the time if I'm hitting a good
giving yourself
can
points
I, in like, theory big thumbs up?
Yeah, all give right. it a try. See what happens.
How do I do? I think I'll end up. I don't think that'll end up well for me. So I'm gonna. I won't mess with that.
Just keep bragging about Lucas Van Ness, who finally delivered for you after 3 consecutive weeks as your Steinhoffel sleeper of the week. All right. Here's the negative that I have. And by the way, I think Matt LaFleur has been one of the coaches in the league whose teams have been least penalized through his first 5 seasons. I'm not worried about this getting cleaned up. They do have the 5th most penalties through 3 games in the league. But I also think there is a component because some of these holds have come on runs that Josh Jacobs has had. And Tausch, help me understand this. Is it possible that his style, that he's making cuts that they're not expecting, and then it's putting them in a spot where they suddenly find themselves holding? Is that possible?
I think there's always a timing with all this stuff, because that quarterback, you know, when a quarterback is rolling out, you have to learn to let go of the jersey, because if your feet aren't in front and there's any type of side stretch, they're going to throw the flag. And I do wonder. You know, Josh Jacobs, obviously, you know, his patience is good. He reads holes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes on some of the toss cracks and some of the other stuff that you're seeing with wideouts, you'll get out on that edge and you'll be finished. And then somebody will cut back.
Right.
And then defensive linemen have been trained, and our guys do it too, where they rip their hands up in the air and like flop down and showcase. Oh, my God. It's been like that forever. So it's more of a understanding where the ball is going to end up. And I think that's more, if you want to say running style, that would make sense. But it's more, you're expecting a play to go a certain way. And then he should be cutting off of your inside hip if you execute your block. And if that happens, well, that guy is trying to do it. And if you, you know, get outreach a little bit more and then he fires back inside and Josh isn't able to bounce it, that's when you get in those troubles. And that's where I think Rashid Walker has been called a few times. And I understand his frustration because he's not getting beat. It's not like, oh, he gets beat and he tackles him. Everybody can understand and live with that. It's more of, I'm actually doing my job. I'm blocking. And it just so happens when the guy goes by me, it looks this way, even though it's not a violent hold. That happens every time. It always is out in space when you can actually see it. Ooh, I like that, the little deal. How did you do that, Chrissy? Did Chrissy do that? So
there's no way Jesse knows how to do that.
I think you get more and more accustomed to how your guy runs and how they're officiating it. Because then I saw a few plays later, Sheed had no interest. He threw his hands up in the air after a block this to say, no, 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 I didn't do anything. And whenever you do that, I always am looking like, I'm going to throw a flag. Because so I think you have to remember, he's still a young player figuring things out. And right now I feel like maybe there's a little more vitriol towards him than I would like.
So for all those penalties, the Titans only had two for 15 yards, but one was big time costly, right? I mean,
yeah.
There were a couple of fulcrum moments in the game.
Never see that called ever. And by the way, I don't ever want to see that called. That's life in the trenches. I don't want that called. It's your job to not get pulled.
Jeffrey Simmons put his hand on Andre Dillard's helmet and was called for defensive holding on Braden Narveson's missed 48-yard field goal. So while the official game book will show that Braden Narveson was 3 for 3, giving him 9 field goals on the season, so that's $9,000 from Steinhoffels to Special Spaces Wisconsin. I am keeping track. He did miss again. He was 3 for 4 again, but a questionable penalty wiped out the miss.
That's not how it works, though. That's not how it works.
It is how it works. He still missed the kick.
Did he? Did I catch a touchdown pass? No, I didn't. It's not how it works, Jason.
No, you did. You did. It occurred.
It's in the history books. Jason, I get
it. It is in the game book, actually. It is. I can look up that game book. It says it there, and then it says penalty, G. Rugemer holding.
Yeah, so it doesn't count. He did miss the kick. My question is, if he missed that last 47-yarder on the left hash, is he kicking today? Like, I legit was thinking.
Kicking rocks.
If he misses this one, too, and then you factor in the miss that wasn't a miss, I don't know. Like, I don't know if they are to the point where we can't continue to do this. Because then Matt LaFleur starts wondering, I got to make a, fourth and two. May I just go for it? I'm not going to kick it, even though you go up 16. So I think that kick he made yesterday at the end of that game was everything for him. I don't know if he's still the kicker this week if he misses that kick.
You might be right. All right. My positive. Of all the things the defense did well, your guy, Jair Depoy, with a pick six touchdown.
What a great read.
Xavier McKinney with his third interception in 3 games. He's starting to look like, I won't go that far yet, but I already did in terms of his leadership style. My parallels are looking better and better by the day on various players that I've compared to veteran players. But be that as it may, to me the biggest thing was the fourth down stop. Not very well executed by the Titans, but that was a point in the game where they get the fourth down near midfield, they pick that up, they go in and score, and suddenly now it's a one-score game. And instead, they get the stop. Quay Walker, who we have been tough on around here a little bit, makes the big stop, and they get rolling. And then then it was like a race to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, it was like the Mike Golic line about how many times he would have... Was it Brett Favre that he would have sacked? But it was when he and Reggie were together in Philly. And Golic said, I would have had more sacks, but Reggie kept throwing Tony Mandrich in my way, and I kept tripping over him. Like, it was
probably a stretch.
It was a race to the quarterback. Yeah. They met at the quarterback multiple times, 3 guys. So everything got going after that. But that fourth down play was a big, big play by that defense.
It was a really poorly executed play, and Will Levis thought he could get there. It just shows where Halfley's got these guys. There's a lot of belief in what's going on, and that obviously was lacking the last couple of seasons. And that again goes back to, I just tweeted this, the organizational win, the tough decisions that were made. They've been so far, again, 3 games is a small sample size. It just feels different. to me.
I agree.
I don't think anyone thought that the defense was going to be dominant. Now you're starting to wonder, can this defense be dominant? I never felt that way last year. I felt like they could. They never got it together. Now you're starting to see this is still early in their process. They haven't even probably implemented everything he wants to do from a mixing and matching coverages and different blitzes and stunts. So I just, man, it's a great time to be a Packer fan, people.
Yeah, I would just caution. I don't think the Colts and the Titans are any good. I'm not saying that
for sure they are not. I don't think you're going to look. The Colts, didn't they just beat Chicago yesterday? And they had the Texans on the ropes. I don't think that Colts thing was not. I don't think that offense is god awful. I think our defense
was that
pretty
day.
Good. Well, yeah. But it's a cause and effect deal, J-Dub.
It can be both things, old T. We need to get to your calls. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. We will take your positives and your negatives. And since I have brought it up, are you big time buying the Packers defense, or are you saying, yeah, I'm encouraged, I like what I see, but the two teams that they have throttled, not very good? 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll see what they can do against Sam Darnold and the undefeated Minnesota Vikings on Sunday at Lambeau Field, with or without Mark Tauscher in the stands. We will get to your positives and your negatives. Did you want to read something? Because I don't have anything that you're supposed to read here.
Oh, I'm not.
But if you'd like to read something, you feel free.
Well, I do, because it's gorgeous out. It's a beautiful morning here. I don't have Quick Trips out here. You guys do. Take advantage of that and go out and get some of that good ground beef straight from the Quickery. $2.99 a pound. And when I want to make burgers from scratch, it's the perfect ingredient. And those deals are unbelievable. What is today? Is it Monday?
It is all day.
Oh, it's chicken. Roasted chicken every Monday for $5.99. And bone-in tender deals for $9.99 on Wednesday. So you can get the white bread for 99 cents a loaf. Then you get the cheese for $1.99. You make that little cheeseburger slider. Oh, baby, is that great. And you finish it off with Nature's Touch vanilla or chocolate ice cream for $2.99. All those deals and more at Quick Trip. Download the rewards today. You can take care of the payment and just stop by to pick it all up, or you can get it brought out to your curbside.
844-770-3776. Begin your dialing. Your positives and negatives are next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com. Not afraid of getting.
Let's get to your calls. Packers beat the
Jason,
Titans.
I got a question for you before we get to calls.
Sure.
Is Jeff Hafley going to be an NFL head coach in the next 2 years?
I don't know about in the next 2 years.
Okay.
But I think he's going to be an NFL head coach. Maybe.
I agree.
Maybe not next year.
Are we palming this? I don't want to be a palm
yes.
guy.
You are palming in a big way.
But Jason, he's been a head coach.
Correct.
I don't know if I'm not going to palm it, so I'm not going to. But I think in the next 2 or 3 years, maybe.
Yeah, I can't wait for Ryan Downer to be the next defensive coordinator. Mark the tape, because that's what I predict will happen someday. Now, that said, I do think it's important to remember that two things can be true at once. The defense can be good and trending in the right direction and have lots of reasons for optimism, and the two offenses that they played can be crappy. Both those sure. things can be true.
Yeah, I hate to tell you this. There's a lot of crappy offense in the NFL.
No doubt.
A lot.
No doubt. And I would not look at what the Colts did yesterday against the Bears and say that they were star-spangled awesome offensively. Certainly their quarterback, who looked awfully inconsistent, did not play well in that game. The Indianapolis Colts won with Anthony Richardson completing 10 of 20 passes for 167 yards with no touchdowns and two interceptions for a passer rating of 39.
Yeah, that's not great. That's not great.
But they won anyway, which is good. Meanwhile, Caleb Williams threw 52 passes yesterday.
Wow.
For 363 yards, two touchdowns, two picks. So I didn't watch that game. I'm intrigued because the final score doesn't look like it should look that way then. Although Jonathan Taylor remains a very, very good player. Let's get to your calls. 844-770-3776 before Jeff Hafley's named the head coach of the Tennessee Titans a little bit later in this hour at the rate we're going as our palming occurs. Let's go to Chuck on the road to start. Chuck, thanks for calling in. Thanks for holding on. Drive safely. What do you got for us?
4770-3776.
Chuck's got to turn his radio down. We got to
scolded by Jesse.
Yeah, we haven't had that in a very long time. Got to make sure Chuck's not listening to us on the terrestrial radio when we're going to his call.
Well, he's driving, and it's important
It is a safe decision. That's not bad, but when we're getting ready to take his call, he's just...
So now are you dumping Chuck? What are you doing to Chuck?
No, we can try him again now. Maybe he's heard it by now, and we'll try him again. But this
Chuck.
Is no more warnings after this, Chuck.
Getting scolded by Jesse.
That's a tough feel.
Is there anything worse than being scolded by Jesse?
I don't know. We'll have to ask Chuck if he's there.
And we'll have to ask Chrissy, too, I'm sure, because Jesse's probably being a little bit difficult for her as well. Chuck, are you there?
Nope. All right. Chuck's suspended.
All right.
Suspended seems strong. Chuck, turn the radio down and call us back. 844-770-3776. Let's go to Chris in Muskego, where Jesse is still waiting for a statue to be erected in his honor. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great after a Packer W. I think my negatives, Tosh has talked about, is penalties that we're getting on the offensive line, hopefully, or for whatever reasons, that gets straightened out. My positive is the guy you said wasn't worth the first-round pick, and that's Devontae Wyatt. And when you made that statement earlier during the preseason, you guys didn't take any calls, Jason, but if you would have compared Devontae Wyatt's first 2 years in the league to Kenny Clark's, they're almost a mirror image.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't judge on the first 2 years of a defensive lineman whether he's a first-round pick, second-round pick, whatever, because as Tosh knows, it takes a little while for those guys to develop because now they're not just going against some college guys. They're going against grown, butt-ass men that are huge and know their game plan. So Devontae Wyatt, I think he deserves a lot of credit, and I think you should say you made a mistake on what you thought coming into the preseason with Devontae Wyatt because – you never compared the stats with him and Kenny Clark, which were mirrored.
Yeah, actually I did. I wrote a whole story about how his numbers look just like Kenny Clark's as a rookie. Kenny Clark was better as a second-year player than Devontae Wyatt was. But the difference for Devontae Wyatt, Chris, is that he's now in a scheme that accentuates his abilities. He was not going to be this good in Joe Barry's scheme. He will tell you, as he has told us, that he is able to get up the field and do what he's best at. He is a quick-twitch athlete. He is not good at reading and reacting. He needs to be aggressive. He will tell you that himself. And you can check Madison.com for the other stories about how this was going to fit him perfectly in this scheme. But you're right. He was not worth a first-round pick his first two seasons. I'm not going to say that that was wrong. What I am going to say is he's playing really good football right now. And that is really good news for their defense. He had two sacks yesterday. He had one in Brazil. He's now got three on the year. He is a good player in this system. And Kenny Clark will tell you that this system is better for him. But Kenny Clark still succeeded in the previous system. I don't know if that would have happened with Devontae Wyatt or not. And we won't have to find out because they have moved on from that system. But that system was not made for Devontae Wyatt. And we found that out firsthand now, seeing him through three games. And if you listen to the coaches, they talk about that as well, how big of a change it's been for him. Was that like my version of retired Navy fella?
Snap.
Know. I'm not 100% sure, but you're very defensive when you get that compared to you're very quick to point out Xavier McKinney's Charles Woodson and so-and-so. And the fact that you have been very critical of Devontae Wyatt, which Chris was very clear about, and you have been, in fairness, you've been very critical. I find that interesting.
I've been critical of Quay Walker, too, and the expectation for Quay Walker is for him to be better in this system as well.
Did you watch my boy Coop yesterday? He looks quick now. He looks quick now. Yeah, you know, he's going to keep getting reps. He's going to keep getting more. He's going to keep getting more opportunities. He's showing out. He is.
844-770-3776.
Still maybe doesn't know where to line up sometimes, but when he's there lined up, he can play. He's a player. He's quick now. He's got that that you're looking for.
He does, and I am intrigued by him. The amount of time he missed probably factors in to him not knowing where to line up, and that's why the coaches are being careful about how much he's playing. But there's no doubt that he has impressed, and whether or not he can sustain that and whether or not he can stay healthy is the next question for him. 844-770-3776. How many people can you fit back there?
Yeah, it's a little clown car right now.
Well, who else is back there?
We got Ben in here.
Oh, wow.
Everybody's
fitting
in. Yeah,
I think we can fit four or five more in there.
How many more chances do we give Chuck to get on the show, or do we just let him go?
One more?
Three strikes and you're out for the Chuckster?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, if we're going to give Devontae Wyatt more chances to develop, we got to give Chuck more opportunities to get his
This was Devontae Wyatt's. He needed to have this type of start. I think that was, that's where if he didn't show up and start seeing what we're seeing, I don't know how many more chances he's going to get.
You don't say. Let's talk to Chuck in a car on the road, hopefully with his radio turned down. Chuck, hello.
Yeah, that's where if he didn't show up and start seeing what we're seeing.
All right, he's out.
What is happening here?
That's Chuck. That's just Chuck.
He just got chucked by
Chuck
Jesse.
Being Chuck.
All right, 844-770-3776. If you want to call, A, turn your radio down. B, we've covered Devontae Wyatt. So if you've got other positives, we're eager to hear them. 844-770-3776. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
We'll get to more calls to start the 10 o'clock hour. I do enjoy the YouTube comments following along in there. It's been a tough day for Chuck and the YouTube comments. I just want to clarify something, because that really did irritate me, as you could probably tell.
No, I couldn't sense that you got defensive and very irritated.
No, but here's the thing. So we critique when it's appropriate, and I think we critique very fairly. And it is a comp that I have made before. But for 2 years, he did not play up to first-round expectations, Devontae Wyatt. He didn't. And, yes, Kenny Clark got off to a slow start in his career as well. But the expectation game is a factor in both. And now that he's playing at a high level through three games, then we praise him as he deserves. That's the job. And if you just want to tune in and hear how everybody is star-spangled awesome and the ones who aren't, well, we just got to wait for them to become star-spangled awesome, there's other shows, I guess. Because Devontae Wyatt is playing well, and he deserves all the credit in the world for what he's doing in a system that fits his skill set. But we don't give that benefit of the doubt to everybody. And yes, that's a position where sometimes it takes time to develop, but he was playing. He was seeing action. And you have always said that when you're on the field, you are going to be judged. And he was. And now he's being judged very positively and deservedly so. And if Quay Walker can make more plays like he did on fourth down, we'll be talking about Quay Walker the same way.
Yeah, I don't recall anyone saying, bashing Kenny Clark early on in his time. I think it was more, boy, he's young, he's raw. And by the end of his first season, we saw glimpses of this guy's going to be really good. That wasn't the case with Devontae Wyatt. And it wasn't that – I think Devontae Wyatt was – there's a couple of things. I think he probably was getting frustrated with his lack of production, and that rebirth of the Halfley defense coming in has given him a new lease on life
when it comes
to being a football player. So there is a process that goes in. Young players get better. That's, you have to go through some of those growing pains we saw when it was 2-5 last year. And it gets better and better. And why I'm excited is you've seen that growth in a lot of these players. And it's now matching with a scheme that fits what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's why, for as much as I have always been semi-reserved, now there have been years when I thought that this was a world championship team. Last year was not one of those years.
Right.
This year, I was, I'm still not going to crown anybody. But you tell me a team that's better in the NFC than the Green Bay Packers. Tell me one.
Yeah, there isn't one.
I'm not saying that they're the, you know, they're going to be a lock stocker. They're going to be sniffing around at 1-2-3, you know, that 1-2, or, you know, if the Lions continue, they found a good way to win yesterday. This is a really good football team, and we should, as fans, we don't always need to be searching for bad and negatives. We can also look at it and say, wow, this is a fun group that, boy, they got a lot of great things heading in the right direction. And by the way, your $220 million quarterback hadn't even played the last 2 weeks. And you're undefeated with it without him playing. That never would – there is no way any of us ever thought that that was going to be the case. And yet, here we are.
Seattle 3-0, Minnesota 3-0. I'm not sure that I would take either of those teams over the Packers, though.
It's going to end up being your same old cast of characters come the end, and then there'll be a sleeper. Maybe I'll be way wrong on Minnesota. Maybe, but I'm going to tell you what do the Minnesota Vikings have? A really good offensive line, and that allows you to let a Sam Darnold actually sit in the pocket and not see ghosts. What does Green Bay have that allows them to do this with Malik Willis? What have they averaged? What did they end up with yesterday? 181 yards rushing, I think, if my math was correct. I believe I looked and it was 181 plus the 250 or whatever it was left. I know. I get West Coast, baby. It's an amazing little deal, and it comes back to, can you block people? And can you tackle people? And it's not always just, I got a great quarterback. This is much more about what this group can do and what they've been able to do running the football is what's being the linchpin for this team so far. And that is another great sign when Jordan gets back.
37 attempts, 188 yards. Malik Willis, 73.
That was close.
Emmanuel Wilson, 50. Josh Jacobs, 14 carries for 43 yards. It was tough sledding for him, but
he wanted to cut his reps down. Everybody wanted his rep. Everybody's freaking out about his rep count. So what a win for everybody. Josh only had 14 totes, and we still got a 188 on the ground.
And Devontae Wyatt had 2 sacks, and when Jeff Halfley came along, he said, pour me in, coach, into this defense. It's a perfect fit for me.
Indeed, he did. Tito's Handmade Vodka on game day. Pour me in, coach. From a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch. Root, root, root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack a spicy bloody, salt the rim of a Tito-rita, or take home the win with a Tito's and anything your little heart desires. You're calling the game. You change up your roster or wash that lucky jersey as long as you make Tito's your first-round bottle pick. Whose house? Halfley's house. Oh, and Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at titosvodka.com. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
From the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube comments, Tausch looks like he's ready to make me a Jack and Coke. Well, of course, it would be a Tito's beverage
making back behind
his bar there in California. The 10 o'clock hour, we'll get some more of your calls. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.